This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sun and Fun 2017 in Lakeland, Florida. I'm with Dan Schwinn of Avidyne Avionics. Dan, now that ADS-B has been installed in every single airplane, the manufacturers made a pile of money on it, we're moving on to new things, which is connectivity. And you talked about that this morning in your press conference about where this is going. So give us kind of the windshield tour of what's going to happen with connectivity, because we have it in the cockpit now, kind of, sort of, but it's not very high data rates, and it's not used in any kind of sophisticated way. So how do you see it breaking down?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I'm glad to hear you're so optimistic about ADS-B, and I'm sure that eventually there will be near universal equipage. I think that date might be sometime after the mandate, but I do think it'll happen. I think there's more things to happen there, and I think it'll be a good thing when it does happen. But I think the next wave after that of something that a lot of general aviation people want to adopt will be some kind of connectivity. And right now, a GA aircraft is one of the few places you can go in the United States or in Europe or in one of the civilized places where there is no connectivity. And, you know, what do we have now? Well, we have SiriusXM Weather, which is a great tool and has, you know, been super for the last 10 to 15 years. And then we have some, you know, you can try and use your phone, which might work a little bit, or, you know, there are some products, including Avidyne's, that allow you to do messaging and so forth over Iridium. None of these are what I would call general purpose connectivity, and that's where we need to get. That's where businesses got first, homes got second, cars are getting there now, and large airplanes are getting there now, and little airplanes aren't getting there. But that's what will happen over the next few years. So, you know, at Avidyne, we're working on what would be called wireless hotspots that use several different means of communication between the airplane and the ground for different, you know, different links will provide different benefits and costs, so it will be useful for different people. And we see that really probably as being the next big area of new equipage after ADS-B and during ADS-B as we go along.
Kind of got a diverting technologies here. In one direction, it's satellite-based, like the Iridium system, which has achieved some success, and the other would be a ground-to-air network. Do you think it will be a combination of those, or will it be like with terrestrial cell technology, ground might dominate?
I think it's likely to be a combination, because the coverage that you can get out of satellite is just unbeatable. And even in the best ground network situation, there's going to be coverage holes. And my vision certainly is an airplane that is connected absolutely all the time. So I think satellite is a part of that. Now, it may not be the part that you use the most bits over, because it's likely to be slower and more expensive, the kinds of things we're going to be able to put on small airplanes. However, it's going to give you that universal connectivity, which I think is key. The air-to-ground network will have any kind of ground system will have some coverage gaps, but you can run a lot more bits for a lot less dollars and at a lot higher rate over an air-to-ground system. So I think that might be, you know, kind of the most utilized network when it's in service. And then you can't forget what network you're going to use when you're actually on the ground. And on the ground, the networks that are available are, you know, 4G LTE and Wi-Fi. And so those may have a role to play as well to keep that airplane connected all the time. Because once you hit the ground, you're not going to be able to see that aviation air-to-ground network. And, you know, why should you spend money on a satellite network when there's a 4G LTE nearby?
Do you think satellite will ever overcome its limited bandwidth and high cost?
On the class of antennas that we can use on small aircraft, I would say there is a reasonable chance that costs will come down, but I don't think you're ever going to have, you know, multi megabit performance like you can get with a really big antenna out of a satellite. You just have to lay way too much power on a small antenna for it to make any sense. That's why, you know, when you're on an airliner, that has megabits of service from a satellite, it has a fairly large antenna up on the top, a steered antenna that's pointing at that satellite. Very expensive, very big, very heavy, and that's not going to come to little airplanes. Even if you had a, you know, maybe sometime, you know, off in the future, you'll be able to have a conformal phased array that kind of sticks all over the top of your airplane. I think that's quite a ways off, and I don't think that's going to be all that inexpensive. So I think satellite could become, you know, it's a competitive business for satellite carriers. I think that the price per bit could come down over time. But I think in terms of the performance, you're probably talking sub-megabit performance. But I also think that that's going to be perfect for lots and lots of uses. I mean, that's, you know, it was, you know, everybody thinks, well, my cable modem does 50 megabits and all that kind of stuff, but a megabit of internet performance would be, I think a lot of people would be very satisfied with that. Certainly all the kind of voice and internet and so forth. Are you going to stream Netflix over it? Maybe not, but everything else you're probably going to be able to do and have it work pretty well. So I think that's what the, I think that's what you're going to be able to get on a smaller airplane with a smaller antenna.
And speaking of uses here, we're not just talking about surfing the web here. We're talking about data transmission back and forth that's integral to this aircraft systems and safety. You mentioned a virtual co-pilot. What are some of the major applications that you think are going to drive this?
So I think the first thing we would do is divide the applications into general purpose applications that people use in all walks of life, like email or whatever, and then aviation specific applications. You know, it'll be great to be able to use all your general purpose applications at some level on these things, but I think the real interesting action happens on aviation specific applications. A virtual co-pilot would be some kind of an aviation specific application. And if we have a voice and a data pipe to the ground that's available all the time, the world is a different place, because now I can take the data that's floating around on the flight deck, all the information from all the instruments, and I could send it down so a guy has a picture on his iPad of exactly what the pilot can see. And I can also have him hooked up so he can talk to that person. So how is that different than sitting in the seat next to the guy? Especially if you're IFR where there's nothing to see out the window, you're pretty much getting the whole experience. So I think that, you know, for example, the first solo could be a totally different experience in a decade. The first solo could be, well, you know, you're still talking to the guy and he can still see everything that's going on. He can still give you the same color commentary he would get if he was sitting next to you. And maybe it won't be such a terrifying, you know, step off into, you know, the, you know, never reaches with when people do a first solo or a first long cost country or that kind of thing. I really hope and expect that these kinds of applications are going to greatly increase safety, because everybody knows that two pilot cockpits are much safer than one pilot cockpits. And if we can have a virtual two pilot cockpit get you the vast majority of those benefits, there's no reason we can't get a huge safety benefit. So I'm really hopeful that happens. Other things you're going to be able to do, you know, of course, you know, the maintenance records of the airplane, in other words, you know, what's it, you know, how many hours, and certainly any systems that are behaving awkwardly, you know, I think you'll see a proliferating business. This already exists on airlines of, you know, kind of hooking up to the engine monitoring, sending it down to some cloud-based service, which keeps track of how you're operating your engine and how it's behaving, and maybe starts giving you notices on either different ways you could operate it or on things that it's doing which maybe you ought to have looked into. I think that's another big opportunity to save people money and improve safety. You know, the day of, you know, obviously you can get all the weather you want over the internet, but you probably had most of the weather you wanted over SiriusXM and ADS-B, but what about route clearances? So, you know, we already know that when you put your route into flightplan.com or ForeFlight, that it'll plug it into the FAA. The FAA is going to send you an expected clearance, and then you can, nowadays, you can take that expected clearance out of your iPad and you can put it into your IFD over the wireless link. So that's pretty nice before you take off. But what about when you're en route? Get my en route clearances updated. You know, Datacom is being rolled out for the large aircraft on dedicated radios, dedicated channels, all this kind of stuff. But is there a way that Datacom can become available on a non-critical basis for GA using a general purpose link? I think that'll happen. So, you know, I think there's really, you're going to see, I think, a lot of innovation. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of things we never even would have thought of that people will come up with to do once airplanes are online all the time.
It's 2017, so when do you think the first practical products, either from Avadyne or other companies, might begin to appear that will do these kinds of higher level functions?
So we hope to have a wireless hotspot of some sort certified in 2018. And it, that's an enabling technology. So we'll put it in there. You'll be able to make phone calls. You'll be able to, you know, do some lightweight internet stuff. Your IFD will be able to hook up to the internet. But I think that's the starting line. We come out with a product, put it out there. I think people will get it because the general purpose stuff is great. I know that it would be so nice to be able to do email and text messaging when I'm flying around and maybe make a phone call. That's worth it for people to get it. That's the starting point. That's the stuff we all already know about. And that's when the doors where people will start to develop. So I see that happening really next year and probably happening pretty quickly like it has in other markets. I mean, what's the Snapchat of aviation? I have no idea, but somebody's going to invent it.
Okay, so if I understand this right, that means I'll be able to record a podcast with you while we're flying and download it right away to the site.
Well, even better, you'll just be able to broadcast it live. Why would we record it at all?
What a wonderful world.
That's right. It's coming to you soon.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Sun and Fun 2017. We've been speaking with Dan Swin of Avidyne, who, as you can see, has a sense of humor. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.